Hillary Clinton, she's a world-class liar. Just look at her pathetic email server statements. She lacks the temperament and the judgment and the competence to lead our country. She should not be president under any circumstances. Hillary Clinton may be the most corrupt person ever to seek the presidency of the United States.
Oh, this voice of yours is really something, huh? I can't get enough of it.
And welcome back. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBaby.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall as he is on vacation this fine Labor Day weekend. And I hope you guys out there will enjoy it. I call this a free-for-all Friday. And a free-for-all Friday, I mean, we've covered a lot of topics already in this first hour, and we plan to cover quite a few more in the next couple hours. But you can call me at 702-546-4790. 702-546-4790. You're listening to 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and 99.1 FM in Reno, Nevada. And on the line, I have with me from the Reno area, the owner of Evans Broadcasting, Jerry Evans. Jerry, are you there? This is Megan.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You got over your first hour of... Oh, of course, you filled in down there, but... Now you're on both stations, north and south, but you're doing a fine job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I've sat in this chair for Kevin a couple times and for Wayne Allen Root last week a few times, and I really enjoy it. You know, I love this medium. I love talk radio. And the reason I love talk radio, Jerry, is because I get to hear from a variety of my community. You know, they have opinions, they want the truth, they're seeking the truth, and they're engaged, and I love to hear that. I've done TV, I like radio better. You've been in radio for how long?
7 decades.
Wow. So this goes long...
I'm joking, it just feels like it. And I was going to say, it only feels like it since probably May 1 when I bought 2 more radio stations in Reno, so... A slight bit of attempted humor there, but I actually been around it a long time, and yeah, the medium's kind of changed. And I would say not to get off track here, but not necessarily for the better. But I will say this: when I got into radio in 1974, talk radio barely existing. I think there was a cooking show on KNX in Los Angeles or something like that. But over the years, what has evolved, and of course, I grew up in music radio, so to speak, as kind of a rock jock and whatnot. The medium's changed so much, but and of course, people have kind of written it off with satellite radio and all the other things. The negative to radio, or what I think is hurting radio, is that young people are not really attracted to radio anymore. I don't happen to be young anymore. And talk radio, which I started doing in the mid-90s and was one of actually 12, I think there were 12 total in 1996 when I started doing talk radio on FM, which was the newest thing in the mid-90s. And now it's pretty much standard. And, of course, we've been doing talk radio in northern Nevada since 2006, but was the first here to do talk on FM, and I think that's how it's kind of evolved, and I think the talk on FM is just as even more practical. You know, the one thing about talk on FM, and not to cast dispersions on the AM station you're on down there, is you can drive along a country road with power lines, and you don't really have any problems.
That's right, and you noticed a rise in podcasting as well, I'm sure, right? That kind of is an industry in of itself that's taking off, that people can just download and listen to kind of whenever they want instead of being captive to a certain time or place.
Exactly, and you know, there's actually a few people that only do podcasting and make a pretty good living at it. Adam Carolla is probably the most successful podcaster, which is kind of a weird name as opposed to a broadcaster being a podcaster, but Yeah, so anyway, that's the medium and whatnot. But, you know, I met you a couple of weeks ago at the Corley Ranch. Got another big event going on this weekend, probably about 5 or 6 miles from where you were a few weekends ago, and it's at Axelson Tactical in Minden. And let me let people know where that is. It's just off Airport Road, off of 395, the Meridian Business Park. It's on Park Avenue. And this is a really special event because most everybody, if you don't know, look into it today. And the Lone Survivor story, it was a book by Marcus Luttrell. I forget who the co-author was. And the movie, of course, with Mark Wahlberg and the others. That incredible story of those heroes, those four of them that did Operation Red Wing. And of course, Marcus Luttrell being the only survivor. So Axelson, the Axelson family, Donna and the brother Jeff and the husband, they started something for to kind of honor the memory of Axe Matthew, and that was the a rifle called the Axe. And then they got into all these warrior tribute rifles. It's now become pretty much a full-blown tactical arms, ammo, hunting gear enterprise, a pro shop right in Minden, Nevada. And tomorrow, Marcus Luttrell will be there. Also, if you remember the name Danny Dietz, he was one of the four on the mission as well. His mother will be there, Cindy Dietz, her name Cindy Dietz Marsh. She will be there tomorrow. And people have been calling the store and want to know what time things are going on. 10 to 4 tomorrow on Saturday. There's also on Sunday, there's the whole shooting, different types of shooting will be going on, and that's 10 to 4 on Sunday as well. So this weekend, it's Labor Day weekend. If you're not heading out of town or even before you head out of town, I'd certainly invite everybody to come out to Axelson Tactical and meet Marcus Luttrell. Nice guy. We've got 800 movie posters. He'll sign those. Bring out your Lone Survivor book, and he'll be happy to sign those. And he'll be there as long as people want to chat and whatnot. He's scheduled to be there for 3 or 4 hours, but he'll stay as long as people are there and want to talk.
That is awesome. And what time was that again?
Starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow, 2222 Park. I may have that. I think I'm pretty sure it's Park, but if you go down Airport Road toward the airport in Minden, turn in the Meridian Business Park and kind of circle around on Park, and you will not be able to miss it. There's a conceal and carry fashion show. There's a food truck, a beer garden, lots of special guests, lots of speakers. Great day to honor veterans. All of the what Axelson Tactical does and sells, all of the businesses, whether it be ammo, knives, whatever it may be, all owned by veterans. And a portion of the proceeds going to the foundation, like the Lone Survivor Foundation, the Axelson Foundation. So anytime you spend your money there on any type of a gun or ammo or whatever it is, you can know that some of your proceeds are going to go to a very well run foundation, for lack of a better term, foundations that help veterans and their families.
Unlike the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah. A little unlike. I think most of them were actually formed here in the United States of America.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic event. And if I could just keep you on a little bit longer, Jerry, because veterans' issues are very near and dear to my heart. And I was just looking on carsonnow.org, and I noticed that there were some incarcerated veterans in Carson City. There was a fundraiser that allows 15 of those inmates now to attend college. So it seems like that community, and that was really the first time I had been up there a few weeks ago. Do you have a very large veteran community up there? And are there oftentimes these fundraisers that the radio station, et cetera, are involved in and the outreach?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I can step back and tell you just a little bit of a story. Both of my sons are veterans. My older son, Henry, went into the Army under the 18X program into Special Forces. Unfortunately, he was injured after he got through the SOPC course, but he did a couple of amazing tours. He was on Haifa Street in 04 in Iraq. He was in Sadia after that. My other son, William, or Will, he was actually the 94th ever SARC ever commissioned. And For those that don't know, it's a special. The title is Special Amphibious Reconnaissance Corpsman. That's one thing about the parent of military boys. You know, they just rattle off these acronyms, and you go, "Well, okay, well, what does that stand for?" But and my wife, one thing that we found out when we moved to Nevada in 2004, and having a son heading off to Iraq, and another son in the military still in his training phase and whatnot, is that what we learned was there's about 27% of the retired population in Nevada are military or retired military. My wife was actually the founder with another woman, and they were the very first Blue Star Moms organization in Nevada. And my wife served as president for 2 years, vice president for 2 years, and then was active for a few years. And now that both of our boys are out of the military, one of them got leukemia on his third tour of Afghanistan. He always went to the Helmand province, and as I said to him, "Son, I'm really sorry you got it." And he goes, "Dad, it's the best leukemia you can get." And I said, "Well, congratulations. Good job." Anyway, but yeah, so lots of, we've done everything from what was one of the funnest things to do, and just we would laugh so hard to bring tears to your eyes when my wife started this thing called Operation Postcard, and we would collect postcards, Christmas cards. People would tear them in half, tear off the personal stuff that was written to families, and then we would take those out to the schools in the area and have these, first, second, third graders write little notes to the soldiers and troops, and then we'd mail them off to the troops. And a lot of different organizations here locally. There was a business I remember in Minden that would pick up the postage to send all these postcards over, and they were just the funny. We would censor them. We'd have to pull out one or two, but it was just the funniest thing in the world for these kids to draw these tanks and, ask questions like, "Are you getting hurt?" and that sort of stuff. But the radio station itself, heavily involved in any veterans issues. One of my favorite charities is the MARSOC Foundation, Marine Operations, Special Operations. Anyway, we've raised money for them, the Blue Star Moms. When you've got a vested interest in it,
yep.
Two boys that were in it, and saw a lot, did a lot. You have it in your heart to, and you know what they went through. You just make sure that these people get the. Well, I'd like to say you make sure they get the health care that they deserve, right. Which is not happening, and just anything you can do to help, and also for people to realize that, there's not as many, but there are boys and women back in the Middle East right now, and one guy just got killed in Afghanistan, the last week. You can't forget the ones that are still active and are still fighting, but anyway, it's been near and dear to our heart. I mean, like I said, we had a vested interest in it, and we know a lot of families. Unfortunately, we know some Gold Star families. The Axelsons are a Gold Star family. So it's, again, great event tomorrow. All the businesses owned by veterans, portion of the proceeds go to veterans foundations, and should be a fun event. And I'm looking forward to meet Marcus Luttrell and chatting with him on the air. I'm going to ask you this, Megan, because you kind of want to. One of the questions I want to ask him, two questions actually. Oh, by the way, his name slips my mind right now. But the guy who trained Chris Kyle, American Sniper, people remember that movie. He'll be there, as well as the guy, and he's the same guy that trained Marcus Luttrell. He'll be there as well. So some of you guys or women that want to come out and talk about, long-range shooting and that sort of stuff, those guys will be there. But I want to ask Marcus. This question in particular is, the turning point in the movie and everything, the turning point in that whole mission, I think, was when they came up on that goat herder and that kid, and they had an argument about whether to let them go or to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be, that was the perhaps the turning point in the mission. Of course, the question will be asked in advance of, how accurate to it, or was there any particular scene that was a little off from what actually happened? But that I think most people will remember that, had they killed him.
Right.
everything might have turned out differently, but you can't, you know.
Hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then Chris Kyle, the guy that trained Chris Kyle, the sniper instructor, my question is, I hate to get into the politics too much of it, but the question for me to him was going to be, Bradley Cooper, the guy that played Chris Kyle, was sitting in the audience clapping at the Democrat National Convention in Philadelphia. How does that make you feel? You got somebody that, a great actor, played the role great, and yet he's sitting there supporting these people that are so anti-Second Amendment, and what I perceive to be, as I'm sure you do, that the whole Democrat Party so anti-American and American values. How does that make you feel to see that guy who capitalized on the story, made great money off of it, played the role well, sitting there at the Democrat National Convention?
Those sound like perfect questions and answers that I would love. And we're going to have to go to break. As you know, we got to keep the lights on. But let's repeat Axelson Tactical Center in Minden. 10 a.m., 3 to 4 hours?
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., both Saturday and Sunday,
awesome.
Just off Airport Road on Park Avenue. They are welcome to call 884-8000. That's the 775 area code. Get more information from the radio station. They're getting everything set up today. It's going to be a great event, an all-day event, lots of different activities in the beer truck and the food trucks and everything. It should be a really good time, and 99.1 will be there broadcasting 10 to 1. For those that can't make it, we stream the audio on the Internet or with a app on a smartphone. But again, tomorrow 10 to 4 and Sunday as well 10 to 4 at Axelson Tactical in Minden.
Jerry Evans, thank you so very much for doing all that for our dear vets, and I appreciate your time today, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Hey, thank you, Megan.
You're welcome. And this is Megan Barth with 790 AM Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, also up at 99.1 FM in Reno, Nevada, and we're going to have to take a break, but we will be back with Rico Oler after this break on Talk Now, Talk That Rocks.
Get your facts first, then you can distort them any way you want. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks.
You're back with Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall on AM 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and 99.1 in Reno, Nevada. And we just had on Jerry Evans of Evans Broadcasting, and he was telling us about a military fundraiser that's going on at Axelson Tactical in Minden, 10 a.m. On, and you will be able to meet Marcus Luttrell of the Lone Survivor. So on your way out for the weekend, or if you have nothing to do for the weekend, stop by and support our troops. And speaking of troops, according to the Military Times, Trump is the leader as far as who would our military troops vote for. A survey of 951 active duty troops, reservists, and National Guardsmen found strong support for the business mogul over Hillary Clinton, 54 to 25. That should tell you a lot. And we're going to tell you more after this next break. I'll be back with Rico Oler on AM 790. Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, 99.1 in Reno, Nevada. Live and local now.
Republicans believe every day is the 4th of July, while Democrats think every day is April 15th. 790. Talk Now.
And this is Megan Barth with ReaganBaby.com, filling in for Kevin Wall on this fine Friday. Happy Friday, y'all, in Las Vegas and in Reno, where I'm talking on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks here in Vegas, and in Reno, 99.1. We are going to go on with Rico Oler as soon as he gets on the phone. And Rico and I met at the Corley Ranch when I was there just a couple weeks ago. And we both have some things in common. One of the things in common we have is we are both California refugees. And as a California refugee, I escaped. I have been in this town for a year. Rico, are you there?
I am here, and I've been in Nevada now for 3 years, and I love it.
Don't you love it? I am so, I went to Coldplay last night. I'm a big music buff, and I live about, 10, 15 minutes off the Strip. I love Vegas because of everything that it has to offer. You can always find something to do. I was at the market the other day. I saw Elvis getting out of his car. That's just
well,
that stuff. I lived close to Disneyland, but I never saw Mickey Mouse. But I went up to Rita, a couple weeks ago now? We met finally at the Corley Ranch.
Yeah, you're the Reagan baby.
I'm the Reagan baby. And
I remember.
Yes, and you know what else I got for you? Remember the shirt I was wearing that says, Don't California My Nevada?
Right.
I've got that on ReaganBaby.com now under shop. You can just click on the link and you can pick up a shirt if you'd like. It's a t-shirt, all different sizes. They go all the way up to 5X. Anybody can buy these shirts. But we are California refugees, so we understand really what that shirt means, right? Don't California My Nevada, whether it comes to like question one. On the ballot, right? This gun control law on the ballot. Similar to what California did. The next thing, it's all incremental totalitarianism. I call it cultural Marxism. They chip away and chip away at your fundamental constitutional rights until all of a sudden you are a slave to a bureaucrat.
That's what they're after. That's what they're after. It's a divide and conquer strategy. They pick one small constituency and they crush that one and take it under their control, and then they move along and they just try to do it incrementally, small pieces at a time, until finally the you go over the knee of the curve and there's no turning back and they have it all.
That's right. And so tell me, so you've been here for 3 years now. Are you a California native?
I'm a California native. I was born and raised in the city of Fresno, and I lived my youth and most of my adulthood in the California foothills, in a beautiful, wonderful place with great people. But there in the foothills, we're more like Idaho than we are like California as far as the political climate is concerned. Mm-hmm. And finally, I just reached a point where I could tolerate it no more. I had to make a change, and we moved to Nevada, and very glad that we did it. Very glad.
Yeah, I have the same sentiments. And when you mean like Idaho, you look over at California, and I said, as goes California, so does the rest of the nation. It's a one-party state now, which has been basically decimated by progressive policies, mm-hmm. but also assisted by moderate Republicans who have no problem voting for voting like Democrats and voting for these green projects, as well as every radical progressive idea. The Republicans in California tend to get on board, and I'm seeing this creeping Marxism, and I'm seeing this happen in Nevada.
Well, in California, it's the Stockholm Syndrome. You get guys and gals that get elected, and you think they're solid, and they talk a good game, mm-hmm. and ideologically, you feel strong about it, but they get in that environment where they are so outnumbered that if they're going to have any friends, they have to go along. And some people would rather be friends than do the right thing. And, for example, we had Governor Schwarzenegger, who was nothing but a Democrat. He should have just re-registered Democrat.
I know. And you know who I voted for?
He kicked me out of his office and never would meet with me again after I refused to vote for one of his bond measures. And, you're up against that in California. It's the way it is.
Yeah, I remember when the California Republican Party got behind Schwarzenegger, and I was a stalwart McClintock fan.
Me too. There were two of us in the legislature that endorsed McClintock. I was one of them, and Tony Strickland was the other.
Yep, I remember Tony Strickland. You and I never met. I didn't really get politically active until about 2007, 2008. But I knew what they call a rhino when you see him, and the GOP in California was always motivated by the pocketbook, not the principles.
Yeah, it's a perennial problem. You know, politicians are elected oftentimes, and I know this is a sad thing to say, but in my case it's not true. But in many cases, it's the best job they ever had, and they would rather preserve that job and what they perceive as a potential future than they are to do the right thing. You have to live your life every single day as if it's the last day. You spend your chips every day if you want to do the right thing. That means when you have an opportunity to do the right thing, even if it's painful for you politically, you have to do that thing and take the medicine. Most people will not do that. They will say, it's like a poker game to them. They say, you know, tomorrow I'll build more chips and tomorrow I'll play them. I'll play them tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes.
Is power really, and you served how long, was it, in this assembly?
I was 4 years in the assembly and 4 years in the Senate.
What got you off your couch to start getting involved?
I got jerked around in my public school by a principal who wanted me to lie on a form so that my son could go on some outing because we didn't have health insurance. And I asked him, well, your son is in my son's class, and I pay your salary, and I pay the salary of all these children here that are on welfare, but my son, because I don't have a health insurance program, they can't go on a swim trip. You know, silly little thing, across the street, literally. And my son brought home a permission slip for me to sign, and it had on there that I had to write down our insurance cap, and I said self-insured, and sent it back. When the teacher, they sent him back later on, he was disappointed, found that he couldn't go on this class trip. And he'd behaved well. You didn't get a pink slip that whole quarter, which was very exceptional for my son, Jeffrey. And I went to met with the teacher, the principal, the next day out in the yard at the very beginning of school. I said, there must be some mistake here. He said, well, no, we have to have insurance or they won't allow us to do this. I said, the same school district. It's across the street at the high school. And he said, well, I'm sorry. You know what? He whispered to me, just loud enough my son could hear, go ahead and just put any number down. They're not going to look at it anyway. And I got so, I said, and you're the man that I have teaching my children. You're a scumbag. And I wrote a letter to the editor that ended up in, like, the Wall Street Journal. And Ken Kachigian, Reagan's speechwriter, called me from Fresno. And I'd never been involved in politics. And that's what got me started.
You know, that's interesting because I have a lot of girlfriends and just a lot of friends in general. And this is very common in millennials that, oh, I don't have any interest in politics. You know,
yeah.
Well, politics does have interest in you now, doesn't it?
Yeah, the time comes when your ox is gored, and all of a sudden you're very interested in politics. And I find that amusing. My I have relatives whose names I will not mention who have never ever voted, but continue to express a very strong opinion about politics anytime the opportunity presents itself. And I finally reached the point where I just tell them to shut up. I don't want to hear it. If you're not going to vote, shut up. Don't talk to me about politics, and you can get out of my house. We're not talking about politics if you're not going to vote. And there are a lot of people in the world like that. But there are a lot of people who've been that way all their lives who are voting now.
Yes.
Because they finally see the disaster of what socialism and progressivism are doing to our country.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I think some of this polling is off. And this is why you look at, you know, I'll never understand the Never Trump movement. I can't really wrap my head around it. I think, honestly, that he could run with Jesus as a running mate and he wouldn't be conservative enough for these folks. There's really nothing you can do to appease them. I mean, he's given us every sort of prescription and conservative one at that for all that ails our nation right now, whether it comes from the economy and jobs or safety and security, foreign policy, et cetera. But yet you look at Nevada in general. And you see, especially in Clark County here in the primary, I was witness to, we had a spike of 40% registrants into the Republican Party.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And I don't know how it was up north there, but Donald Trump, when he came on the scene, you know, we had a big crowded playing field. We had 16 folks to choose from, and all were such a diverse group, such a brilliant group, right? I mean, there were some that I could have done without, but for the majority, we had such a lot of choices to make. And Donald Trump, and you've been in politics, so tell me, and I've never held office. I was asked to run for office. I decided not to get involved. But he took on politics like a bull in a china store as an outsider. And he was kicking down the false narratives of both the right and left. And it really wasn't until I saw Michelle Fields. Remember the Michelle Fields incident? She was the one that said Corey Lewandowski threw her to the ground.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
And then you saw a bunch of conservative talking heads, pundits, that came out in support of her, even though she lied.
Clearly lied.
Yeah. I thought the right people don't like Trump, and I'm really starting to like this guy.
Well, I like a lot of things about him. Let me say, the public was ready for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump was not really ready for the public. If he had behaved himself in a more civil manner, he'd have won even bigger. And now, finally, he's displaying the characteristics that I wanted to see him display months and months ago. His last speech in Ohio was really pretty outstanding, and the most presidential address he has made thus far. You mentioned Jesus earlier. Now, Mike Pence is definitely not Jesus, but he's a very, very fine man. But I can tell you, I'm fairly convinced that Hillary Clinton is Satan.
Yeah, you and I both, and specifically when it comes Satan, I think she's actually worse. If there could be somebody worse, I mean,
she's devious, deceitful, she's a liar, she's a obfuscator, she's everything that is the antithesis of virtue in the political arena. You know, the scripture tells us, I'm a Christian, I believe the scripture. The scripture tells us, Christ said, to treat other people the way you'd want to be treated, and no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for a friend. There is no friend that Hillary will not lay down for her life.
No.
There's no one she won't throw under the bus.
No, when she lied in front of...
She's the antithesis of the values we want to see in politics. You've got to be willing to give up your career, which is, and for them, many of them, it is their life. You give up your career to do the right thing, and you have to be willing to do it. That's what I did in my political life. I mean, I could have gone as far as I wanted if I'd been willing to play ball. I didn't, and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that the left has really nominated someone of this lack of integrity, lack of character, an obvious liar, a woman who compromised our national security willingly, ably, and knowingly. She rode around with burn bags. Did you hear that mm-hmm. story, Rico? Burn bags. Now, burn bags are used in accordance with the federal government regulations when handling classified material. Classified material must be disposed in a way that only can be done through burn bags. At the same time, Uma Abedin, who I call the Muslim mole she has attached to her side, who was leaving top secret information in hotel rooms, in cars in India, just basically falling out of her back pocket. Now, when you were a assemblyman, did you have any security clearance?
Yeah, I did. I had a degree of security clearance, and I had a congressional race where I had to obtain much more deep security clearance, which I did. I never to that degree. I never had around the clock bodyguards. Around the clock bodyguards. I never had burn bags, and I never had a private jet.
And I'm assuming, you know, we had a Navy member, veteran, that was just sentenced to, I think it was 5 years in prison for taking a picture of a classified area on a sub. A picture.
Yeah.
When you had security clearance, if you just had your own private server and was running, you know, top secret black ops information through it and just sharing it with 12 people that didn't have security clearance, where would you be right now, Rico? Would you be in Reno?
Well, I would probably be in San Quentin, I'm thinking. It could be Folsom, but probably one of those. Of course, I am so disgusted with Comey from the FBI. I'm absolutely disgusted with him. What a sleazy slime bag. We should have known that would happen when we started hearing the liberal press praise him. We should have known what was coming, and I feel like an idiot that I didn't. But when you start hearing the liberal press praising any individual on the Republican side, you know they're a sellout, and you know they're going to screw us.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, I was a little bit naive to the hierarchy within the DOJ. I had had assumed, and I'm a political hawk, okay? I watch politics. But the hierarchy, I did not realize that Comey actually works for Loretta Lynch. I thought the FBI was independent of the DOJ, but it all comes back to Loretta and the fact that she met with Bill on a tarmac in 110-degree heat.
Now, listen, that was just coincidence. They just accidentally ended up there together. You know what? The accidents happen every day. You shouldn't be so cynical.
Yeah, either these two, the Clintons, are the most unluckiest people that have ever walked the face of the earth, or they are the most corrupt.
I'm gonna vote for the latter rather than the former.
Yeah, well, and I hope that you're gonna vote for Donald Trump and make America great again. It sounds
I'm certainly gonna vote for Donald Trump, and at this point it's a no brainer. But I was very proud of him, what he did, his speech, you know, discussion of charter schools and local control of schools. That's a huge thing. Oil independence, coal mining, those are all things that resonate, and he really hit it hard. And you're seeing the numbers close up now, and I think there's a very, very good chance we pull this thing out. If he continues to maintain the presidential demeanor that he displayed at that speech, things should go our way.
I wholeheartedly agree, Enrico. Things went our way really well for moving to Nevada, and I really appreciate you being here. I loved meeting you last week. And don't California our Nevada, right?
I'm not going to do it. You know, the people that are coming to Northern Nevada principally are conservatives, are people like me who are entrepreneurial and are sick to death of having their goods and their life taken away from them by government. And that's why I'm here, and more like me are coming.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, you keep it red up there for us. And I'm going to try to turn it red here in Clark County as best as I can. So I thank you for your time, Rico. I really
appreciate
Megan. It.
Appreciate being on with you. You have a great day.
Hey,
bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. And folks, we're going to have to go to a break. This is Megan Barth filling in for Kevin Wall on 790 AM Talk Now and 99.1 FM up in Reno. Talk now, talk that rocks.
Hillary has a clean conscience because it's never been used. 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love.
And this is Megan Barth with ReaganBaby.com, filling in on this fine Friday for Kevin Wall. Kevin Wall is on vacation this Labor Day weekend, which means I am not. I am here with you in Vegas on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and in Reno on 99.1 FM. We've talked about a lot. We've already covered, 2 hours? This is our last hour. Time flies when you are having fun and raking Hillary over the coals, something that I absolutely love to do. So we're going to be doing that in our last hour, and we're going to get down and dirty in the last hour with the truth, because according to CNN, the truth is dangerous. But let's listen to the truth coming out of Donald Trump on cut one.
On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall. We will use the best technology, including above and below ground sensors, that's the tunnels. Remember that, above and below. Above and below ground sensors. Towers, aerial surveillance, and manpower to supplement the wall, find and dislocate tunnels, and keep out criminal cartels. And Mexico, you know that, will work with us. I really believe it. Mexico will work with us. I absolutely believe it. And especially after meeting with their wonderful, wonderful president today, I really believe they want to solve this problem along with us, and I'm sure they will. Number two, we are going to end catch and release. We catch them, go ahead. Under my administration, anyone who illegally crosses the border will be detained until they are removed out of our country and back to the country from which they came.
Boom. And that is Donald Trump with a heavy dose of the truth. And we're going to talk about the truth and take your calls. You can call 702-546-4. 790-702-546-4790. This is Megan Barrett, ReaganBaby.com, filling in for Kevin Wall on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and 99.1 FM in Reno. Live and local now.